All right, it's afternoon already, so good afternoon. And we thank the Lord for the delicious lunch that you have enjoyed, and hopefully that this will not put anyone to sleep, otherwise I'm going to walk to you and wake you up. So hopefully no one will be nodding as we will be trying to make some practical applications. In the morning, we have taken a lot of foundational truth of the church and the gathering, on what basis we are gathering together when we gather in Clark or Wayne or Roselle or Mawa or Clausen Avenue or 115th Street or Springfield. Which meeting I forgot here? Or Willowdale? Any other meeting?
Charlotte.
All right. Snydertown. All right. So when we gather in these all localities, on what basis we are gathering the... I think we have touched on this in the morning session. So what we will take in... this lecture and the coming lecture, some of the practical things that will touch our daily life in the assembly. So the first slide here, as you see that there is a word that maybe many of us have heard it before from English scholars and from people in the Bible conferences and Bible study, the word laity. It might pass over your head and say that what laity means, and we have put here the definition of that word, that it refers to the unskilled mass of people as opposed to the skilled clergy. So this is a fact that we would like all to be aware of, that in the assembly, in the meetings when we gather in the local churches, which are representation of the whole body of Christ, there is no one who is unskilled. There is no one that suppose or should be unskilled, but each one should be skilled. And we will see this from the Word of God, because we hear that there are certain, and I think we touched this earlier in the previous lecture, that there are certain people with certain qualities. These are the only people that can lead, or they can be used in the assembly. But we will see that there is no laity, meaning that there is no one that has unskilled when it comes to the assembly or the local churches. So the next slide, please. So here, I would like to point to you the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. And this is an important scripture that we have spoken about the body of Christ that's formed after Christ has completed the work and ascended to heaven. And the Holy Spirit had to descend to form that body on the day of Pentecost. So here, for as a body is one, and has many members, but all the members that of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ also has a body. He is a head, and he has a body. And this body is the church. Every believer, the question is, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who has come to be your substitute on the cross of Calvary, and you have put your trust, and you confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, and you believed in your heart, as we heard earlier, you are saved. You are a saved person. You are a member of that body. You are a member of that body. And each one of us can look at his body, because this is a very, the scripture and the Spirit of God is bringing something very home to all of us, that each one of us has different members. These members varies, but they are not similar. And it shouldn't be that one member say that I would like to be the other member function. So the eye is an eye and the nose is a nose. And the eye should not ever say that I would like to be a nose, or the nose say that I would like to be a hand, because each member, and we will see that in the next verses, that God has set each one of us to be skilled in a certain function. If you are a believer, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you are a member of the body of Christ. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you have a function. You are not functionless. Right? There is no laity. There's no one who is unskilled. But each one, and I chose this diagram because it shows us that actually there is a system, and this is now an analogy of the human body, that there is a system that makes the function of each member performed. And this system controls all the coordination of the members to perform a function for the benefit not of itself, but of the whole body. Of the whole body. And this system, as you see, is a nervous system that goes through the whole body and gives signal to each member of the body to coordinate the function of each member and to be sure that each member is performing a function that can be of benefit of the whole body. If I'm seeing a mosquito, my eye is seeing a mosquito flying there and it will come to my hand now. So the nervous system gives a signal to my hand to move away from the path of that mosquito because I don't want the mosquito to come in my hand and sting me. So who does this coordination? There is a system that does this coordination. And this system, we know what it is in the Church of God. It is the Holy Spirit that have brought us into that body. And that will, next slide, please. And that will actually make each one of us to have that function. So we chose these verses from these different places in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and that's what we are saying, it is the Holy Spirit that will manifest your function, will manifest your function to each one for the profit of all. And 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. And then Ephesians 4:7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And we have highlighted and underlined this word, each one. So there is no one. And if we would like to, one of the things that we can go out today and take with us to our meetings and in our way and to our homes, that each one of us is given a gift. Each one. If you are a believer, if you have put your trust, if you are a member of the body of the Lord Jesus, so the scripture repeatedly say to us, each one. And in Ephesians 4:16, we see that how from Christ, that the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working of which every part does its share. And what is the purpose of this? It will cause growth or increase of the body for the edifying of itself in love. For edifying itself in love. So the purpose when each member of us will perform and will be exercising the function that the Lord has given us, what will be the end result? The body will increase. The edification, when God has given you a gift, this is not for me, you know, it's not for me personally, but it actually, I will benefit also, but the whole body of Christ is the beneficiary of that gift. It's not, if I have a gift, I see this sadly many times, that someone go to a podium and people clap. Clap for who? And clap for what? Right? In our meetings. There's no need for clap. Right? It's not for the praise of one person. But if God has given someone a gift, this gift is for the purpose of edification of the whole body, of for the increase, not to praise one person, not to be occupied with one person, with one gift of that person, but to be occupied with Christ and Christ alone, from whom the whole body is knitted together. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is jointing us, that each one of us has a major function that can function. So quickly now, we would like to, as we are in this topic, I think it will be very fitting that I, next slide please, that we will I remind you with these scriptures and take note of them, because these are the portions of the Word of God that mentions to us where these spiritual gifts are mentioned. So maybe one of us today, I hear one of us, we say that, I really don't know what my gift is. All right? And I would like to direct our attention to these three portions of the scripture that we will find 21 gifts, and there are more. All right? So, and we did highlight them here in Romans 12, verse 6 and 7 and 8. Romans 12 from verse 6 to verse 8, and then 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 8 to verse 10, and then Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to verse 12. And we have highlighted these gifts, gift of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading or ruling, showing mercy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians 4, we see the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. In Romans, God is the giver of the gifts. In 1 Corinthians, we read that the Holy Spirit, in the chapter, you see that the Spirit of God is the giver of these gifts. And Ephesians, the risen Christ, who ascended on high and has given these gifts. So as we see that the triune God is in function and in act to equip the body of Christ here on earth to have all these various gifts. This is all what we have talked about today, and each lecture, if really can be, it deserves a whole day conference. And I'm very sure that there are some questions can come about these gifts, that we can go over them in the discussion period, because there are foundational gifts that God has given. For example, apostles. There's no one today that claims that he is an apostle anymore, because the apostle has to have seen the Lord Jesus himself and after he was risen. And no one, of course, has seen him physically that can claim today that I am an apostle anymore. So there are foundational gifts that are given to the church that the body of Christ will be built and established. And there are gifts that are in need for the continuous furthering of the gospel today and the edification of the body of Christ that are being shown here. So the practical point today, that may each one of us, as we have these portions of the scripture, as we will have maybe time of prayer, maybe don't go to sleep tonight, But tell him, Lord, show me my gift that I can be for the edification of the body. Why? Because the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that he would like to put him in remembrance to stir up the gift of God that is in him. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, that there is a gift of God that's in him. But if the gift is not being used, then the body is suffering. The body is suffering. If my hand is paralyzed, there is a suffering for the whole body, not just that hand which is paralyzed and it's not functioning as it should be. So maybe today will be the day that each one of us can really be challenged and go to the Lord in prayer and tell him, Lord, show me how I can be of use to my brethren, with a small b, that will not be functionless, but I will be for the edification and for the service of the whole body. But quickly, before I will leave this point, that as we saw that these gifts has to be exercised and energized through that knitting together the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved, the Holy Spirit can be quenched in the life of the believer. So sometimes you feel that coldness, that I'm really useless, I am not of any function, I don't know what am I doing. And maybe the Spirit of God is grieved because there is sin in my life that's unconfessed and need to be confessed. That I need to come to Him and confess my sins, that the Spirit of God will find in me liberty, they will find in me the liberty to show me the gift and to also put it to use. So this is just as practical points that we all can take with us as we leave the conference today. So this is the first subject that I wanted, or I was assigned to speak about, that there is no laity. There is no one of you without function. No one is without function. And each one, and you have seen all these diverse gifts that the Lord has given you something. What it is, stir it up and put it to function. The second subject that we will speak about, next slide please, many questions are being raised, and that the role of men and women among the assemblies, and what it is, the role of, especially the role of the woman among the meetings or among the assemblies or the localities. So to start with, I would like to bring it from how the Old Testament and New Testament have the same mind of God regarding this matter. Next slide, please. So the first thing that we would like to put the basis for, the thought of equality. The thought of equality. And in Genesis 1 and verse 27, we see that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created he them. So here there was total equality, absolute equality in the mind of God when it comes to his purposes, eternal divine purposes and perspective of man and woman, that there is man is not less than woman, and woman is not less than man. And we find this also in the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 19 and verse 4, when he said, made them at the beginning, made them male and female. From the beginning, Genesis 1, he made them male and female, and they are in the same platform in the eyes of God. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul also by the Spirit of God tells us that neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we'd like to set this up clear, that in Genesis 1 and going all through with the New Testament, the words of the Lord Jesus, the words and the teaching of the Apostle Paul, that there is absolute equality when it comes to man and woman, a brother and sister in Christ. There is no one who is higher or there is no one is lower than the other. Next slide, please. Yes. Then in Genesis 2, we find this concept of complementarity. Complementarity. When God says in the garden, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet and a help to complement him. And the same thought of that complementarity, we find it in the teaching of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 8 of chapter 11. For man is not from woman, but woman is from man, as God has created the woman from one of his ribs. Nor was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Again, he is going back to the verse that we read in Genesis 2, verse 18. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 to 12, also we read that, nevertheless, neither is a man independent of a woman, nor woman independent of a man in the Lord. Or a man is not without the woman, or the woman not without the man. For as woman came from a man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. So here we see how man and woman, not just equal, but also they are complementing each other, that they cannot be without each other. We cannot be without each other. Yes. Then in Genesis 3, so we saw in Genesis 1 there is equality. In Genesis 2, there is the complementing concept. And then in Genesis 3 now, fall comes in. And as fall comes in, next slide please. And as fall comes in, we find this rulership or headship. So in Genesis 3 and verse 16, and the Lord is telling Eve, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over, and he shall rule over you. So these three concepts of the equality, complementarity, and the headship or rulership, we find it as in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We find it also in, as we have read in the New Testament, going in the same line. So in 1 Corinthians 14, now when it comes to the role of the woman, when it is in the meetings or in the assembly, that we see here that let your woman be silent in the assemblies, for it is not permitted to them to speak, but to be in subjection, as the law also says. And he is referring, when he says the law says, he refers back to Genesis 3 and verse 18. As the law also says, but if they wish to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in assembly. So here the word speak doesn't mean, because many say that this is cultural, this is because they were speak here, meaning that they were chattering or whispering or gossiping, and he is preventing them from doing this. But actually that word speak, which is in Greek, meaning laleo, it's mentioned in the New Testament 241 times, the same word. Right, the same word that when he said that let the prophet speak two or three, the same word also. So it's not just that they were making noise at that time, and that's why he wants to tell them don't make noise, and he's trying to hush them So there will be quietness and order of the meeting. But actually, that word meaning that they speak as a man speaks. So this is the word of God. And the verse following, the apostle is telling them, and this is the commandment of the Lord. So these are not the words of Paul, because we hear this many, you know, sometimes that they say, oh, this is the words of Paul, who was living in a male-dominant culture or something like this. But actually, the Spirit of God tells us that these words are the commandment of the Lord. And in the opening of the epistle to the Corinthians, he's telling them it's not just to the saints in Corinth, but actually to all these saints, and it is to us even here today, to all the churches, and to all the saints of God, the word is coming to them. In 1 Timothy also chapter 2 and verse 11 to verse 14, let the woman learn in silence, let the woman learn in silence with all subjections. And it really affected my heart when I searched for that word, all subjection. So it doesn't mean that, you know, what maybe superficially you can say, oh, there is here submission, there is like inferiority. But actually all subjection here is something internally, inner decision in the heart of a godly woman, that she will be, and as a sign of it, there will be silence outwardly. So that silence is an outward signs of an inward status of a sister in the meeting. And as we have been, and the apostle here is giving two reasons for this. But I suffer not of woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and these are going back to creation. I see two people close their eyes. You want me to come and wake you up? All right. So there are, you know, he's going back to creation, and he's saying, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And then in verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression, And this is the word of God. So he is not just even leaving it here as a mere fact, but he is giving us reasons that go back to creation and go back to the mind and purposes of God and what happened after the fall. If you go back to the spiritual gifts, if you go back, please, to the slide of the spiritual gifts scripture. Yes. Yes, this slide. As you see that we have highlighted them. And I would like you to read them, stare in these that we have highlighted. And see how many things that actually can be done without have to speaking audibly, all right? We have to, that you stand up and speak in a meeting or rule in a meeting. As you see that there are many of them, and it's already mentioned that godly sisters fill the scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. From Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, to the many of the godly women that voluntarily have given their substance and their jewelries to build the tabernacle, and many have gathered themselves and gave it to the work of the Lord, to Deborah, to Queen Esther, to Ruth the Moabite, to Rahab, all these godly women that the scripture fill, that's, they fill the scripture, and the Also in the New Testament, we read about Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, that we have read today. Many of the women that actually sustained the Lord as he lived here on earth in the day of his humbleness from their own substance, that we see many that have the understanding, like we spoke already about Mary, that could have the understanding that the disciples could not comprehend it. And she has done a refreshment for the Lord that no one has done it. No one refreshed his heart before going to the cross like Mary has done to him when she broke the alabaster box on that day. So the sisters, yes, you might not be speaking and teaching in the assembly, and that's what the Word of God teaches us and gave us the reason for this, but you can have many other gifts. And the question is, you ask the Lord, what's my gift? And I want you to use my gift. And pray that, Lord, who do you want me to use my gift with? Maybe he will put in your heart a brother or a sister that you can talk to, that you can be, that the Lord even give you a word of wisdom as you speaking to them. That the Lord will give you a ministry that you can do that can be of the benefit of the whole meeting. That many of the other gifts that can be put to use and can be functioning when it comes to the role of the woman. We all thank the Lord for the Sunday school classes and children that's being raised with our sisters being of help in these classes every day from one week to another and asking about the children during the week, putting them in their hearts, shepherding them. So there are many of the gifts that the Lord can use you for the benefit of the whole body. So we spoke about no laity, that each member has a function. We spoke about the role of the sisters. And we saw how there is equality and in the mind of God, and the fact that the sister will not stand and teach or speak is not making her at all in any inferior place than the man. And this is not the mind of God. This is not what the Bible teaches us. And how we cannot live without complementing each other as brothers and sisters, as husbands and wives, taking our roles. But when it comes to the meetings, when it comes to the assemblies, God has placed a role for the sisters that they can be for the fulfillment and for the joy of the heart of God as he see them practicing the skill and the gift that he has given them. The last thing that we speak about, and Brother Brian gave me the difficult ones, I think, is a discipline. Is a discipline. In Psalm 93, verse 5, holiness becomes the house of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, there is an important principle there that the secret things belong to the Lord. But the public and known things, now it belongs to us. It belongs to us. And we have to act on it. And that's why in the churches, as we learn today about the Church of God, we have to understand that there is something called discipline. That and the discipline is to maintaining the holiness of God. In our lives individually, we have already taken this earlier, that each one of us is before the Lord to examine himself and to keep short accounts and to be holy in our daily and our individual life. But also now when we come collectively, we have to maintain the holiness of God because holiness becometh the house of God. And there are here in front of us, next slide, please, or the slide of what we're talking about. Yes. And it is in your booklet also that you have, that when it comes to maintaining the holiness of God, sometimes a discipline has to be exercised, because I am a member of the body of Christ. I am not someone who is without. I am someone who is within. And if I'm within, then there is a responsibility of all my brethren in the meeting, in the local assembly, as toward me. And if something is becoming known about me, and it is publicly start to become known, the meeting has a responsibility toward me that it has to be corrected for the glory and for the purpose of the God's glory among us. So, and holiness, maintaining the holiness in the house of God. Next slide, and then we'll come back to this slide again. So I just put this verse from 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that's called a brother. Yes, so he's called a brother. So it's not somebody who is without, but somebody who is within. But be a fornicator or covetous or idolater or railer or drunkard or an extortioner with such an one not to eat. So this is what we call moral leaven, right? And we have doctrinal leaven in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9, which is a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And they're speaking in Galatians about how there are wrong teaching and doctrine have seeped into the church on Galatia, and that's why the apostle is writing to them these verses there in Galatians chapter 5. So go back to the slide. Yes. So as you see here, that there is a responsibility that we don't keep fellowship with someone who is publicly is living in sin, and that's what was a problem in 1 Corinthians 5, that the brothers there in Corinth knew about that brother, that he was living in sin, and it was just normal to them, and they are not doing about this anything. And that's why the apostle is rebuking the assembly there and then telling them, shouldn't you mourn until this be lifted from among you? And he is telling them to put out the wickedness away from the assembly. We should differentiate between someone, as is mentioned already, there is certain things which is secret. No one else know it but you and the Lord. This is your responsibility to maintain holiness and to confess it and forsake it and repent from it. Otherwise, the Spirit of God will not be free in my life. Otherwise, I will continue to be functionless. This is your responsibility. No one know about it. But if anything has become known now, the assembly have a responsibility. And there is a progression in discipline. So these are scripture that written, and it is in your booklet that you have, that it can start from admonition to warning, pastoral care in Galatians 6, then avoiding and not to have fellowship with that person, and then the mouth stopped asking for that person that do not contribute and their mouth to be stopped, and then excommunication as a last resort. And of course, we were talking about a brother here or a sister. So if discipline is happening, imagine that a father is disciplining his son at home. What is it for the purpose? To cast him away from his house? Absolutely not. But to win him back, to correct him. So all this discipline is in lieu of restoration, that brother will be restored unto the Lord and unto fellowship. So this is the teaching of the discipline. So we spoke about no laity, no one who is unskilled. We spoke about the role of the men and women in the church of God. And we spoke about the discipline when it comes to maintaining the holiness of God among us. So if you have any question, please send it to our brothers who are waiting for it. And I trust that the Lord gave us, again, I'm repeating this to myself and to all of us today. Do not go to sleep today. If the Lord will not come until we go to sleep tonight, without communing with the Lord and tell him, I want to be of benefit. I want to be of benefit to the assembly that you have raised me. What do you want me to do? What skill, what gift you are equipping me to do? And I'm sure that the Lord has given you something that you can be of use. And whoever has will get more. And whoever has and will just not use it, what you have, you will even, it might be taken away from you. So may the Lord help us that this will be for his glory until his soon coming.